Books on Tape presents The National Parks, America's Best Idea by Dayton Duncan, based on a film by Ken Burns, written by Dayton Duncan, produced by Dayton Duncan and Ken Burns. Read by Danny Campbell, with Kimberly Farr, Mo Irvin, John H. Mayer, Scott L. Peterson, and Lorna Raver. With afterword read by the author. Here's Ken Burns.
For our children and our children's children. Preface. Our best selves. This book was born in the process of producing a documentary film series on the history of our national parks. That series, in turn, grew out of experiences and emotions and attitudes formed and shaped by more than three decades of trying to get to the heart of a deceptively simple question. Who are we? That is to say, who are those strange and complicated people who like to call themselves Americans? What can an investigation of the past tell us about not only where we have been as a people, but also where we are and where we are going? The various films and books we have made over those 30-plus years have often tried to explore the central issue of race in America, the great sin and stain of slavery, and its ennobling as well as bedeviling consequences. In works on the Statue of Liberty, the Civil War, baseball, jazz, Thomas Jefferson, Mark Twain, and the first African-American heavyweight champion, Jack Johnson, among others. But we have also been drawn inexorably to a question of space, that is, the way in which the sheer physicality of this great continent has molded us as a people, for better and for worse. From book and film projects on the history of the American West, that strange and dangerous intersection of cultures where so much of our national character and mythology has emerged, to the Lewis and Clark expedition and its own decidedly bittersweet lessons. From a lighthearted look at the first cross-country automobile trip made a century after Meriwether Lewis and William Clark began theirs, to the wonderful and unforgiving landscape that would inspire a young Samuel Clemens to take on the central themes of both race and space that his complicated young nation seemed unable to avoid. We too have been captivated and directed by a sense of possibility and promise in the magnificence of our land. That interest has reached its apotheosis for us in the story of our national parks, for in the narrative of their creation, in the evolution of their clean and stunningly influential ideal, we have been able to engage and join themes that transcend the political or military or social elements that have traditionally passed for American history, and have at times, we believe, touched on or at least glimpsed the intimate, indeed spiritual themes that bind us and that complicated past together. We have found in our lifelong love and curiosity for the still wild places of America an animating spirit that has renewed our passion as filmmakers and writers, historians and friends. We cannot imagine a better subject to continue to pursue the questions that have propelled us for so long. It is not as if the national parks haven't been done before in both book and film form. They have. But it was our intention to make first a documentary film series and then this book on the history of the parks. This would not be a tour guide, a travelogue filled with pretty pictures of wildlife or spectacular natural scenery, though our projects in the end would have some of both. Nor would this be a list of which inn or lodge to stay at when on vacation. We were most interested in following the individuals and ideas that have created this uniquely American thing called the national parks, an invention we now take for granted, like the air that we breathe, the water we drink. In the course of the production, we learned to our dismay that most people think the parks have always been there, that there has always been an agency charged with their care, and that, and nothing could be further from the truth, they will always be there. We were principally drawn to the fact that for the first time in human history, land, great sections of our natural landscape, was set aside not for kings or noblemen or the very rich, but for everyone, for all time. We liked the fact that we Americans had invented such a wonderful thing, that this idea, like our articulation of universal political freedom in the Declaration of Independence, should be so widely admired and copied throughout the world. 3 decades of continually brushing up against this amazing and surprisingly little-known story during the course of producing our other projects, meeting and getting to know historical figures who were important to the evolution of the park idea, spending time out in these transformative and restorative places, only heightened our interest in the subject. Nearly 10 years ago, therefore, we committed to making a documentary series and a book about our national parks. Over the many years it has taken to complete these projects, we have found in the story of the parks quite simply a reminder of our best selves, a connection to the most primitive impulses we human beings have, and an appreciation of the value of commonwealth that these parks represent on both a spiritual as well as material level. During the course of our investigation, we began to gain a new, intimate awareness of the flabbergasting and nearly incalculable geological forces at work and on display in the parks. One of the things I think we witness when we go to the parks, the historian William Cronin told us in an interview for our film, is the immensity and the intimacy of time. On the one hand, we experience the immensity of time, which is the creation itself. It is the universe unfolding before us. And yet it is also time shared with the people that we visit these places with. We remember when our parents took us for the first time, and then we as parents passing them on to our children, a kind of intimate transmission from generation to generation to generation of the love of place, the love of nation, that the national parks are meant to stand for. Walking quietly and awestruck within a grove of huge sequoia trees that, like sentinels, have borne silent witness to this immense passage of time, standing next to the rim of an unfathomably deep canyon, or in the spray and roar of a 1,000-foot waterfall, gazing in wonder at the nighttime roost of tens of thousands of birds in a dismal swamp, walking in a cathedral of stone more impressive than any made by man, stepping gingerly around geysers and fumaroles and boiling and spitting mud pots in God's laboratory, watching clouds clear off the crown of the most massive mountain on our continent. We have come to want to know more about that intimate transmission Cronin spoke of. Our film series and this book are our attempt at an answer. For nearly 7 years, we have made trip after trip from our home in New Hampshire out into the national parks, looking, scouting, filming, interviewing, asking, delving into their origins and mythology, recovering their long-neglected stories and archives, searching for some sign or guidepost that would illuminate our way, getting to know the remarkable people who continue to protect this fragile inheritance. In the course of our work, we were awakened daily by the life-changing power these saved and sacred places exert. Stumbling among the ruins of Chaco Canyon in New Mexico and Mesa Verde in Colorado, we breathe the dry air of a civilization that vanished hundreds of years ago. Yet in the eerily silent ruins, the warren of now deserted rooms and kivas and passageways of a once flourishing culture, we came to know the fragility of our own existence. In the crisp air of the pines and maples, and in the thunder of the surf at Acadia in Maine, we found an unusual sustaining tranquility and reveled in the contradiction that much of that place had been saved by the son of the richest and most hated man in America. In northwestern Montana, and later on a mountain near Seattle, we hiked up to living but now threatened and disappearing glaciers, while still marveling at the floral Elysium, the riot and jumble of brightly colored wildflowers joyously blooming on the alpine slopes. It was hard to leave these protected places, and the grief that fell over some of us as the built world reclaimed its supremacy was palpable and long-lasting. In Hawaii, the hellish landscapes of Maui's Haleakala and the Big Island's Hawaii volcanoes provided us a glimpse back, it seemed, into the moment of creation itself, while the colorful, windswept canyons of southern Utah were mesmerizing, sometimes forbidding, museums of patient erosion. Down in the grandest canyon on earth in northern Arizona, we brave the chilly rapids of a still insistent and dangerous Colorado River.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?